Second Chronicles, please, chapter number 2. Look at Second Chronicles. For those of you who like to know how many points a preacher has, I want to tell you this, I have absolutely no points. Last time I said that, Sean Mann said, well, that was a pretty good sermon. It had no point to it at all. Actually, there's one, and we'll be taking our journey down to that. I think there's one thing that is of utmost importance as we look here. Chapter number 2, and begin reading with me in verse number 1. It says, and Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord and an house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew in the mountain, and 3,600 to oversee them. And Solomon sent to Huram, the king of Tyre, saying, as thou didst deal with David my father, and did send him cedars to build him in a house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening, and on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him an house, seeing the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? Send me now, therefore, a man cunning to work in gold and silver and brass and iron and purple and crimson and blue, and that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and in Jerusalem, whom David my father did provoke. Send me also cedar trees, fir trees, and algum trees out of Lebanon, for I know that thy servants can skill to cut timber in Lebanon, and behold, my servants shall be with thy servants, even to prepare me timber in abundance, for the house which I'm about to build shall be wonderful great. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you this evening for the privilege to gather. Lord, thank you always that we can sing praises to you and give you the honor and the glory. Thank you that we can set aside, even in the middle of the week, a time just to gather. And we pray that you might be honored by that, you might be blessed by it. But also, oh God, we ask that you would bless us through it. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. When we look at these scriptures, we find something that I believe was quite interesting. Solomon understood that the house he was going to build needed to be majestic because it was to the glory of God's name. Did you get that back in verse number 1? And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. You know, I don't believe we can ever outdo what we're doing for God. And we'd always do it better than we've ever done before. And oftentimes, we as Baptists, in trying to save money, we sometimes skimp on the glory of God. And we just do not make things as they really ought to be made. And so anyways, we find that he wanted to do this for the glory of God's name. He knew that God was so immense that the house he was going to build could not contain him. Matter of fact, he understood something very important, and that is all of creation cannot contain God. What's the Bible say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so he's the maker of all of it. He is over all of it. It doesn't contain him. Could we put it this way? He contains it. And so we find in verse number 6, the first portion of it says, and Solomon I'm in chapter 1, in verse 6, but who is able to build an house, seeing the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him? He recognizes that God is great, and he wants to do something for the greatness of God. We look back in the Old Testament, we find that when God said in Exodus chapter 22, he says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. He wanted a place where his visible presence would be available to the people. That visible presence we find of the Lord really was in a cloud. Remember when they came out of Egypt? It was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day to show them the direction they were to go. Exodus 13:21 makes that very clear to us. When they built a tabernacle in the wilderness, in chapter 33 and verse number 9, after all the instruments and all that which was pertained to building of that tabernacle, it says, it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Interesting. He is showing his presence. We find in the book of Leviticus that as the high priest was to go once a year into the Holy of Holies, it was there that he would meet with God, if you please. In chapter 16 of Leviticus, in verse number 2, says, the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother that he come not at all into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. He would know his presence there upon the mercy seat as the cloud of God would be present. We find it as Solomon built this temple and they dedicated it to the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter number 8 and verse 10 and 11, it says this, it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Interesting. So we find that God makes his presence known to them in this cloud. Matter of fact, if we go to the heavenly tabernacle spoken of in Isaiah chapter 6, it says, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Similar or basically another word that we would find for a cloud. Now we know that the temple was not a complete dwelling place for God, but it was a place whereby the Israelites might be able to approach unto him. Again in chapter number 6 and verse number, in the middle of the verse says, who am I then that I should build him in a house save only to burn sacrifice before him? How was he to approach? Through sacrifice. The approach was a blood sacrifice. There were other sacrifices, but primarily it was a blood sacrifice. And a blood sacrifice meant an animal had to die. And it meant that it was something of great value to those who possessed it. And if you and I are going to sacrifice, it must cost us something. Sometimes we talk about sacrifice, but we really are not thinking in regards of costing us something. And so if something's worthwhile, it's going to cost us something. We're going to sacrifice for it. David, as he is about to find the place for the building of the tabernacle, we find something interesting. The death angel had come, actually because of sin of counting the people, and it is stomped at the threshing floor of Araunah. And the Bible says in chapter 24, 2 Samuel, and verse 24, and the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Arana was going to give it to him. But he says, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And so when we sacrifice to God, it is something that is of great value. Can we understand, especially with a blood sacrifice, it is something that is never going to be regained again. Once you slay that lamb, it is gone. It is dead. Matter of fact, if it was burned upon the altar, it made it impossible to ever retrieve again. And so that sacrifice was permanent. All of this was to be taken very seriously by the Jewish people. Now, many of them did not, and we find that death awaited them. But all of this was happening for our ensample. In other words, an illustration for you and me. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 6, it says, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them were. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now Solomon understood these things very well, and he was overwhelmed that God should want him to build a house. But I want us to stop and think about something. As we think about in samples, what is so wonderful about all of this is that God considers you and I the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19 says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? The body that you live in, it's not yours. It is His, and is to be lived in for His glory. And when we understand that concerning the temple, listen, we also know that this temple can only approach God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can have thus of the Holy Spirit come and dwell within us. This temple, that which is our body, listen, it is to be sacrificed to God. We don't like to think about this, but remember with me in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present what? Your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He doesn't want it dead. He doesn't want it burnt. He wants it alive. He wants it that which is holy. And He tells us that's our reasonable service. And then He goes on and says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God has given to each of us a body. And that body is to be sacrificed to God. Because it's His. He bought and paid for it. It's not ours. Oh, we think it is, but it is not. And so we find that it's a sacrifice. First of all, I would say it's a sacrifice of nonconformity. If you notice there, it talks about be not conformed to this world. You're not like this world. You're not to be conformed to it. You're not to follow after its pattern. You have a different kind of a pattern. You will be different. That's why He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The sacrifice is nonconformity, and you will be different when you give it unto the Lord because it will be transformed. as the body of the bull would be placed on the altar and the fire would be lit, it would be transformed into nothing but a body of ashes. But God can reform that, and he certainly does for us. The Bible tells us something interesting in 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our sacrifice is nonconformity to the world, but being transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being that new creature, those old things, they're gone. And everything becomes new. I remember when I got saved, how so many things changed for me. I remember my locations changed. There were places I no longer went because I didn't feel comfortable there any longer. God had done some transforming. My language had changed, and no longer were there swear words that came out of the mouth, and that which I was hoping would be pleasing to the Lord. Matter of fact, when I started this church nearly 48 years ago, and just actually a couple of weeks, I remember the place I was working at was a trucking unit, and one of the things I was around men who cussed all the time, and I heard it so much. I was so afraid that when I stepped in the pulpit on a Sunday morning, that one of those words would come forth. Thank the Lord he protected me, not only in the pulpit, but in private life as well. Listen, God changes some things, amen? And he makes us different. Praise God for that. So we look here, and what do we find? We find that Solomon was to build a temple. And he understood that that temple was a place where they could bring sacrifices to God. And God has given you and I a temple that we might sacrifice it to the Lord. It's just that simple of a message tonight. Father, thank you so much that we have the privilege to give of ourselves to you, to give of our being, of our material possessions, of our emotions, to give of you all that is about us. And actually, Lord, thank you for the privilege. And Lord, we thank you tonight that we can be a part of other lives in so many, many different ways. We pray for your blessings in the next few moments in Christ's name. Amen.